Thank you for holding. Parties will be on a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer session of today's conference. At that time, you can press star one to ask a question. This conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect. I'd like to introduce your speaker, Mr. Ben Sherman.
Welcome to this afternoon's NOAA Media Teleconference. I'm Ben Sherman, NOAA Office of Communications, and I'll serve as moderator for today's call. Our topic today is an updated report from scientists studying the health of dolphins in Barataria Bay area of Louisiana, an area heavily impacted by the Deepwater Horizon oil spill. This is an ongoing health assessment study that is part of both the ongoing natural resource damage assessment and the unusual marine mammal mortality event, or UME, that NOAA established in the Northern Gulf in Mexico of February 2010, several months before the Deepwater spill, when larger-than-expected numbers of dolphins began to strand. With us to provide updates on the Louisiana study are Dr. Terry Rolls of NOAA Marine Fisheries, National Marine Fisheries Office. She's the head of the Marine Mammal Health and Stranding Response Program for NOAA. Also with us is Dr. Lori Schwacke. She's from the National Ocean Service's Ocean and Human Health Branch. She serves as their chief there and is the project lead investigator of the Barataria Health Study. We have available at the end of the period, available for questioning, will be Dr. Robert Dickey, the director of the FDA Division of Seafood Science and Technology and the Gulf Coast Seafood Laboratory. Dr. Rolls and Dr. Schwacke will present some opening comments, and then we will open it up to questions. Please note that you'll be on mute again until your turn for questioning comes up. The operator will indicate when we're taking names. At this point, I'll turn the call over to Dr. Rolls. Terry?
Hi. Good afternoon, and
oh, wait. I want to do one more thing.
Okay.
I want to spell their names for you. It's Terry, T-E-R-I, Rolls, R-O-W-L-E-S, and she's a Ph.D. in veterinary medicine. And Dr. Lori Schwacke is L-O-R-I, and her last name is S-C-H-W-A-C-K-E. And Dr. Dickey is Robert, R-O-B-E-R-T, Dickey, D-I-C-K-E-Y. Dr. Rolls?
Yes. Well, thank you for being here this afternoon. We wanted to just give you an update of what is going on and some of the recent findings we've had from our studies in the Gulf of Mexico. We had a conference call this morning with the Stranding Network in the southeast in the Gulf of Mexico to talk with the veterinarians and the biologists who are working with the animals, doing the necropsies, and working with the live animals and treating them. We informed them of our findings, made some recommendations of additional types of things for them to collect or examine on dead animals, and some thoughts about handling live animals that may have some of these conditions. As you know, the UME, the unusual mortality event, is still continuing in the Gulf, and we have our website set up. It's updated every Tuesday morning, Tuesday afternoon, and so far since February 2010, we've had 693 animals. Stranding rates currently are still high in Mississippi, Louisiana, and Alabama. They have returned near normal levels for the panhandle of Florida. The UME is still ongoing. We have ruled out a couple of things, marine biotoxins and morbillivirus, which have been common causes of UMEs in the Gulf of Mexico, and that we have not found evidence that those are playing a role in this current die-off. So, Lori, I'll turn it over to you to talk about the health assessment study.
The findings that I'm going to be describing today are from just one of several studies that are being conducted to look at the potential injuries to marine mammals from the Deepwater Horizon oil spill. Last August, we conducted a study to temporarily capture and conduct health evaluations of dolphins in Barataria Bay, and the purpose of that was to look at potential sublethal health impacts from the oil exposure. As Ben mentioned, we had chosen Barataria Bay as a study site because it's an area that received relatively heavy and prolonged exposure to the oil. We evaluated 32 dolphins in Barataria Bay, Louisiana, over a multi-week period in early August of 2011. And what we found is that the dolphins that we sampled from Barataria Bay are overall not in good health. In fact, some were very sick. Many of the dolphins that we evaluated were underweight. A couple were severely underweight. Several were anemic or had low blood sugar. Several also had symptoms of liver or lung disease. One of the fairly consistent findings was a low level of stress hormones. About half or nearly half of the dolphins that we evaluated in Barataria had abnormally low levels of cortisol, which is produced by the adrenal gland and is critical for stress response as well as other essential body functions like metabolism and immune function. Many of the dolphins also had abnormally low levels of aldosterone, which is another adrenal hormone. So together, these low levels of hormones suggest adrenal insufficiency, and this is something that we have not seen in other dolphin populations where we've conducted similar evaluations, including dolphins that we recently examined in Sarasota Bay in May 2010 and May 2011. And that site was a control site for this study. It was an area that had not received oiling. These health concerns also have not been observed in dolphins that we've evaluated in other parts of the southeastern U.S. coast, the Atlantic coast and Gulf of Mexico coast. So from studies of other mammals, we know that adrenal insufficiency can lead to some fairly severe health problems. It can cause low blood sugar, weight loss, low blood pressure, and eventually even lead to kidney or heart failure and death. So we're concerned that many of the Barataria Bay dolphins are in such poor health that they're likely not to survive. And, in fact, one of the dolphins was found dead on Grand Isle, extremely emaciated, in January of this year. So, again, I want to just stress that these are preliminary findings. As Terry mentioned, we're discussing them now with the members of the Stranding Response, Marine Mammal Stranding Response Network, just because they are continuing to respond to dolphin strandings, and we felt like they needed to have this information.
Thank you, Lori. Thank you, Terry. At this point, we'll open it up to questions. Operator?
If you'd like to ask a question from the phones, please press star 1, unmute your phone, and record your name. To withdraw your question, press star 2. Once again, it's star 1 to ask a question, and you do need to record your name. Please stand by for the first question. The first question is from Leslie Kaufman from the New York Times.
Lori?
Yes.
Lori, so can you just repeat the amount, the number of dolphins you worked with? Obviously, you're not saying it's linked to oil, but you seem to be indicating, right? I'm hoping you can just make this a little clearer for us that this is not happening to populations who are not oiled, so you have reason to believe that this is affecting oiled dolphins or just oiled dolphins in Barataria Bay? I mean, how broad is this as a concern?
Okay, well, let me start with we evaluated 32 dolphins in Barataria Bay in August of last year. And we don't know yet definitively whether the issues, the health concerns that we're seeing are associated with the oil exposure. But the reason that we were looking at some of these issues is because similar health concerns have been reported in experimental studies. There were some experimental studies of mink that were dosed with fuel oil or weathered fuel oil, and adrenal insufficiency was one of the issues that was seen in those minks. So, you know, we're still evaluating samples. Again, these are preliminary results, and so that we're still trying to determine better understanding of the association with the oil exposure. But there's certainly the findings we have are consistent with other studies that have looked at the health effects of oil exposure in other mammals. And I guess I should add to that, you know, while the health assessment was only done in Barataria Bay, we are collecting samples from other parts of the northern Gulf of Mexico, Mississippi, Mississippi Sound, Chandelier Sound. We're collecting remote biopsy samples and doing photo ID in those areas. And then, of course, there's the response to the strandings that are going on across the northern Gulf Coast. And Terry can address better the response there, but it is a standardized collection across those areas.
Carrie?
Yeah, just to follow up, so our straining protocol for both live and dead animals is consistent across the Northern Gulf, and now we're including Texas as well, so that we are getting standardized sample collection, and that is a work in progress, and data and samples are continuing to be evaluated.
Is that okay, Leslie? Get what you need? We'll move on to the next questioner.
The next question is from Ben Raines from the Press Register.
Hey there. I'm wondering if dolphins that have been the carcasses that came up in Alabama and Mississippi, further away from the heavily oiled parts of Louisiana, have the weight issue that y'all were talking about. I mean, and if they do, can we surmise some of the same adrenal issues?
So this is Dr. Rolls. Just to let you know, so we are doing similar studies in Alabama and Mississippi. And evaluating body condition and a lot of other parameters. As you may remember from the other talks that we've had, most of the carcasses, most of the animals that come in dead are detected when they're more decomposed, so only 17% of the 693 have been live in which we could get a good assessment of body condition, or freshly dead in which we don't have a decomposition issue to determine whether they're in good body flesh. So we are looking at those parameters. In some animals, they are able to get weight, and weight is important if the carcasses are fresh. And we're looking at other parameters as well, blubber thickness in fresh animals and overall body condition. We don't have all that data pulled together at this point to tell you whether they are indeed underweight or not.
Lori, do you want to add anything?
No, I think Terry covered it.
Okay. We'll go on to our next questioner.
The next question is from Karen Nelson from the Sun Herald, Biloxi, Mississippi.
Do you have an idea of what the dolphin population number is in Barataria Bay? So in other words, you studied 32 of how many, roughly?
We have started conducting photo identification studies. We're still analyzing the data from those studies to determine abundance, but our preliminary estimates are over 1,000 dolphins in Barataria Bay.
And, again, we've also had over 180 stranded dolphins in Barataria Bay area, the three parishes surrounding Barataria. So we do have samples from at least 180 animals that stranded in those three parishes.
Do we have any further questions? Operator, can you repeat the instructions on how to sound in?
Yes, again, it's star 1 to ask a question, and you do need to record your name.
Okay, I think. Do we have anybody else?
There are a few questions queuing up, just a moment.
All right.
The next question is from Alan Sear from the Associated Press.
I wanted to go back over something about the strandings. You said they were near normal for the panhandle of Florida and above normal for Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama.
Yes. So the panhandle of Florida, so the UME, the unusual mortality event, actually extends from the Texas-Louisiana border through the panhandle of Florida. The stranding rates continue to be above historic rates in Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama. the stranding rate in the Panhandle of Florida is back down to the near normal range, but it continues to be up in the others for the last year.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for the next question?
Yes.
Claire Taylor from the Daily Advertiser of Lafayette, Louisiana.
Hi, y'all said there have been over 180 stranded dolphins in the Barataria Bay area, the three parishes surrounding it. What time frame was that, and is that above normal?
Yes, yeah, so that's Jefferson, Plaquemines, and Lafourche parishes, and it's the time frame is February 2010 until this current time. March 18th is our last update on the website, and there have been more than 180 animals that have stranded. Normally, the rate of strandings, average annual strandings of dolphins in Louisiana as a whole, it from 2002 to 2009 is about 20. 180 in a two-year time frame for just those three parishes is again still high.
Next questioner.
The next question is from Karen Nelson from the Sun Herald of Biloxi, Mississippi.
I wanted to ask how many live animals you have in this. In this UME, I guess, live strandings?
So there have been about 33 live strandings in the current UME. Seven of those had gone into rehabilitation, and we have three animals in rehabilitation from the Northern Gulf area, within the UME area.
Is there any more questions at this time?
There is one more question if you'd like to take that.
Yes.
Amy Wold from The Advocate, you may go ahead.
Thank you. I want to see if you could just run through one more time the 32 dolphins that you studied on health impacts in Barataria Bay. What were some of the illnesses that you saw again?
Many of the animals were underweight. Many of the animals were anemic or hypoglycemic, which means they have low blood sugar. And then there were several symptoms with symptoms of liver or lung disease. And as I mentioned, probably the most consistent finding was this finding of low levels of stress hormones, which are cortisol and aldosterone and are produced by the adrenal glands. So this is suggestive of adrenal insufficiency. And actually, the adrenal insufficiency can occur when the adrenal glands are directly affected. It's basically the adrenal glands aren't producing enough hormones. So it can be the adrenal glands themselves, or it could be a problem with another gland that helps to regulate the adrenal gland.
Yes, this is Terry. Again, we don't yet know the mechanism of what we're seeing, but the health implications of a loss of adrenal function are fairly significant, particularly for dolphins that live in saltwater.
Okay, is there any more reporters that have questions? Last call.
There is one other question from the phones.
No, I think we'll do. Is it a reporter?
No.
Okay. Last call for reporter questions. Okay. I'd like to thank everybody for participating today in the call. You can find more about this at the NOAA Gulf Spill Restoration website at www.gulfrestoration.noaa.gov website. There are also pictures on that site that you can use to illustrate your story. Does anybody else got any further questions? If not, will conclude today's call.
That concludes today's conference. You may disconnect at this time.